This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, AWACX, Central Bank, The Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Janae's Uniform Center, The National Insurance Board, RF Bank and Trust, and World Star Assurance. If you feel like you
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, you can call us on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. How about some honesty today? I mean, I'm not saying that there was dishonesty on other days, right? But I'm just saying that let's have some frankness today, maybe in ways we don't have frankness so much, right? Listen to me, man. The issues in the Bahamas like waking up in the morning. You get up in the morning, same side of the bed. You get out of the bed the same way. You put your shoe and your slippers the same way. You walk to the bathroom the same way. Probably use the toilet first, then go and wash your face if you don't have to go to bed. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying it's like the same old over and repeatedly, right? I'm talking about the issues now. Immigration, crime, the economy, politics. At some point, you kind of wonder, like, bro, what are we doing? I mean, like, not what are we doing? What's up? Like, what, when do you get a break from it, right? Like, if you're in media, because you sell, see, media is business, right? So those of you who run around calling these talk shows sometimes and writing in the press and what have you, doing like media is some charity. It's the fourth estate. But it ain't no charity. These are businesses seeking to make a profit. So their media's business is generating attention. I don't know if you know that, right? You know why you get to watch basically a lot of shows free? You get to watch a lot of shows free basically because the hope is your eyes on that screen will count as possible customers for the advertisers. That's how it works. The radio, social media, they have to keep your eyes watching and ears listening. That's the idea. So they try to figure out what does it take to get these people to put their eyes on the screen on this and their ears on this audio, because the more of them that do it, the more I can say to these business houses, I have the attention of your potential customers. Tell them what you would like them to buy from you. That's the way it works. Okay? So if things aren't happening exciting, it could get pretty challenging, right, for media. Excitement could be good. Excitement could be bad. The most compelling excitement, unfortunately, tends to be bad, starting with blood and mayhem. Because if there's blood mayhem, you know you're going to be listening and you know you're going to be watching. You. Yes, you. You who are listening to me, you sitting down, you will be watching. You will be listening. Why? Plane crashed. Murderer kills 10 people. School children rioted. Okay, you're going to watch. You're going to watch. Why are you going to watch? Because you're human. What does that mean? It means that you are so afraid to die, so afraid to be harmed. That's a natural tendency of every human being. Self-preservation is the primary aim of every man. So whenever things are out there that may be a threat to your existence, you pay attention as a matter of your own reptilian brain response. Don't even have anything to do with any reasoning. It has to do with you put your hand on a hot stove, bam, it just automatically springs away from it. Why? Your reptilian brain just goes into instinctual mode and protects you that way. So you're scanning the environment for danger. The press says, oh, they just had some murders. They just had some thefts. They just had some rapes. You're going to pay attention to that more than you're going to pay attention to, oh, 10 young people just got scholarships. Oh, that's nice, but that's not going to get your attention for the most part. So excitement and, you know, stuff like that is what gets us going, gets us riled up. And like, I mean, like routine boredom, you know, just not a lot of crap. That can be a good thing. There's no question about that. But there can be exciting good things too. And unfortunately, like I'm just, listen, we do these shows. Most of us do these shows 5 days a week. I don't know how many else are 2-hour shows, but I know Dwight, it's a couple of, maybe 3 hours, maybe. Right? 1, 2, my 2. Others maybe 2. That's a lot of hours of talking, right? And you have to have things that you can really generate a conversation about. Now, for sometimes we just end up doing a monologue because you all sit down and listen. That's cool. But you got to have something to generate a conversation. And I'm telling you, it's getting pretty thin out there. It's getting pretty thin. I mean, listen, for the most part for us, the politics is what becomes the thing, the discussion point. But listen, bro, y'all don't get mad with me on either side of the political divide. I don't know what's going on. Right? Now, maybe this the quiet before the storm. Maybe y'all are cooking up something really good. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm telling you, man, it's kind of getting challenging to keep rehearsing, rehashing, going over the same old. So as not to do that, you know, you want to stay in current. You want to do stuff that's in current. I mean, look, there's only so much, you can't beat a dead horse, man. Right? There's only so much cussing or immigration issues you could do. There's only so much beating the crime beat you could beat. There's only so much politicians are so this and that and the next thing. How many days, weeks can you really carry on with that? You know, before you start to try to like dive into the absurd trying to make something happen. So I don't know. If there's something going on out there that you think is worth observing, paying attention to, talking about, I'm going to give you some time to tell me about it. Please, let me give you the numbers again slowly. 323-2-32 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us as 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me at 439-3043. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of marvelous issues that can be discussed. They just don't happen to be, per se, your political, economic, financial, current information, which is what we try to delve into on these shows very often. So, and I do have one such issue to dive into, but I want to hear from you. If you think there's something out there, maybe I missed it. You know, you say to me, bro, what about this? Or what about that? We talked about the immigration issue. I noticed that Minister Bell is saying that the work permits of two of the persons who were on the boat may be canceled or is going to be canceled. I heard on one show, somebody was asking, why maybe cancel? And you know, if you have a work permit and you're on a boat suspected of smuggling, and you are not the owner of the boat, you're not the smuggler, what's your crime? You didn't enter illegally any country. You can't. What you can be charged with? What do you be charged with? Now, fortunately, the immigration board has the discretion to grant and revoke any permit or status it wishes. So that isn't in the question. If they want to revoke the permit, that can be done. But you can't get committed or no crime sitting on a boat that they suspect was being smuggled. You didn't enter illegally anybody's waters. There's no such thing as illegally leaving your own waters. And I mean, the tragedy was a tragedy, but my point is like, what are you charged with? Where did the police lock you up in court? Maybe the police could tell us. Maybe somebody who's out there who knows could tell us. What do you charge somebody with who has legal status in the Bahamas, who was aboard a boat accused of being used for smuggling? I don't know. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay today. I'm okay. Thanks.
Okay. I don't know probably if it's the young media or what, but it seems like they don't have a grasp for going out there and investigating stuff. It seems like whatever government says, they just take it and put it on the radio.
You think so?
Yes, I've seen it happen, not once. Because I could say some things, and I know for sure they never investigate.
You're being able to say some things because you want to say it. It's not the same as somebody printing that or writing that, because they have to make sure the things they say can be verified.
But they are only printing the things, just same thing whatever government say. They put it on the radio. They don't go there and do their own investigation like back in the days.
Yeah, you're right. I think that
I could tell you. You know,
because I'm saying,
some of the things I hear Mr. Davis is saying, if the media would have backed him into a corner, he would probably, he probably would throw him out of his office, including Mr. Monroe.
Okay.
Because I have heard some things from them, which I could say, and I know it wasn't right. Because Mr. Monroe said the other day, the U.S., no place in the world did no such, about trafficking. And that was a lie.
What did he say? Say it again. Hold on. Say again, because
no place
In
the world. In the world. You could go and check that. And I laugh when I hear it.
Yeah,
and
but my friend. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? First of all, right? Let me check you a minute. You have just said that the minister lied, and I am trying to understand what you said, and you're not clear. What did he say?
He said there was no place in the world that they do any investigation. When the U.S. government put out their report on the Bahamas, he said there was no place. And I know that was a lie because
I gotta cut you. Okay, I gotta cut you. First of all, he doesn't even finish a complete sentence. He said, the minister said, there is no place where they do investigations. I mean, come on, investigations of what? Okay, that's not even a complete sentence. So, and then he's saying the minister lied. I can't do that. I can't help you with that, sir. I'm sorry. I can't do that. We have to protect the integrity of this station. I can't have you calling and accusing the minister of lying. And you can't even finish those sentence to tell me what you say the minister said. Okay, so I'm disavowing that. That don't make sense to me. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Swago.
Yes, sir.
You were saying that people with these work permits, they can't be charged for this, in the smuggling who were on the boat?
Well, first of all, to be charged with smuggling, you have to be the owner operator of the boat. So you can't be charged with smuggling if you're not the one doing the smuggling. If you're the smuggled, you have to tell me what crime there is from being the smuggled other than being an illegal immigrant.
What about illegal and disembarkation?
Illegal disembarkation?
And then embarking, you like when you come from the bomb, then you leave the bomb. Right?
Let me ask you a question. You leave ashore in the Bahamas and you're still in the Indian waters. What are you accused of?
You conspiring to illegally leave.
You conspiring to do what?
You conspiring to illegal disembarkation.
So you're conspiring. Okay. So you're saying there's such a crime
to leave the Bahamas illegally, leave the country illegally.
Okay. Oh, yeah? And there's a law you can cite me for that?
I mean, they could say, oh, we was going to a different island in the Bahamas. They could say that.
Exactly. I'm saying, but I'd like to see the law so I could read it, because you might be right.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but tell me something. I mean, let's try. Who would pay $3,000 to leave you to go anywhere at 1 o'clock in the morning on a boat with 60 people rather than 6 in a conflict.
I have to admit that I paid that money. So you have proof that somebody admitted those two people with the work permits admitted that?
I think they have to probably have to, even say with them, but you know, with the commissioner of police.
Yeah, but this is but they're the only two people I'm talking about, my friend. Nobody can speak for me.
Yeah, but well, they could probably make that more clear. Now, you get a point on that one. They can make it more clear. But what we need to do now is set up some kind of law that where people must leave, or it could be even leaving on a plane in the daytime, on a, like how you remember what they were started to say with the plane, these private planes that get these mishaps, and they don't know if these planes are supposed to be taking these people to these different places. You know, a lot of things we need to face the system because we need to tighten
up. You do if you are seeking to travel abroad. Maybe there is a law that requires you to leave from a designated port of embarkation, but that is to suggest to me that I can't have a boat at home and decide I'm going into United States of America and just leave the Bahamas, but I have to make arrangements with the United States of America to enter its borders.
I think we had a law during the COVID time. I think you have to be tested to move anywhere out of from any. I mean, they don't do it now from any island or out of the country. Yeah, but I mean, it's a good point you raised. But I just was looking.
That's what I was thinking. It was just a complicated issue. That's all I was saying.
Yeah,
it's a
for the two
permit holders.
Yeah, I think that you get some good law between the Attorney General and that National Security. God, man, you got some heavy hitters there.
Okay. There's
something going to come up in Parliament. Something up. All right, thank you.
I got you, brother. Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Rolani, your host.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
It's Regatta time again with Sand Dollar and the Roanville Development Association in Exuma for the 78th Roan Homecoming. All roads lead to Exuma, July the 28th through August 1st for Sand Dollar giveaways all weekend. Get ready for live performances, gospel night, battle of the DJs, boat sailing, mixology competition, and so much more. Come and hang out with the Sand Dollar team to learn about the Bahamian digital dollar. Use Sand Dollar at the Regatta site to avoid having to worry about cash. Check out www.sanddollar.bs for more information about the digital dollar.
Hello? Keisha, you something else, boy.
Who this is? Tamika?
You ain't even remember my name?
Wow, Dred. Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning a trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you gotta get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I say, I'm not under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO WHO, Canada, and USAID.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. Your broker, RF Stock Brokerage, is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, With RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful, rainy Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. In the first half, I was kind of just listening to you about whether there might be some issues out there that I'm overlooking, because I'm kind of like feeling like insofar as some current news is concerned, you're kind of spinning the wheel, you know? This text says, good day, Lang. A question I want to ask. The Minister of National Security said the Haitians that died on the boat is homicides, which is murder. Does that mean they will be added to the murder count? It depends. If a homicide is just a killing of a human being, whether that killing of a human being, and it is murder, is first degree murder, which is intentional, no, premeditated killing, or second degree or third degree, et cetera. How it is defined will determine whether it goes into the murder count. In the way that we know. Now, again, maybe all murders are counted in the murder count. I don't know. So, but that's a good question. I really don't know. All homicides are not classified the same. And I think that was a point that Allison Greenslade used to try to make when he was commissioner of police. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Well, good afternoon, Shivargo.
Hi, Graham. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for asking. You know, you sound a little bit discouraged.
Discouraged about what?
I don't know. You said how did you word it exactly about 10 minutes
ago?
Yeah,
that we're spinning the wheel on some current issues. Yeah. Not a question of discourage. It's a question of, you know, what is there to be excited about?
Sounds like a little bit of burnout. Tired.
Yeah, but you don't need to psychoanalyze me on the show, my brother, because I can assure you I'm burned out. So you can carry on. What's your next question?
I know. So
yeah, I'm not burned out. I'm good.
Yeah. It just, maybe it's the weather, a little gloomy, got us feeling.
Could be. That does happen. You know, that's a good observation. Sometimes we don't realize just the environment or other things can give us a psychological bent in a certain direction. That's true.
And you said the quiet before the storm.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, I did.
So my question is, we've spent 49 years with internal self-governance, and we talk about all the issues. And of course, if you were to talk about marijuana, spousal rape, same-sex marriage, you know the usual thing. You'd have a million callers.
We have external self-governance too. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
but
good.
When we talk about solutions, we don't get the same calls. If we talk about immigration, same-sex marriage, spousal rape, you know the little hot topics.
That's
that
for sure.
They give from time to time as distractions.
Yeah, that's
from
for
the
sure.
real issue, like the economy, the fuel
but
cost.
But every issue is a real issue, man. You don't think 15 people or more dying trying to escape some places is a real issue?
You know, that kind of disturbs me because I never thought of having to flee to a different country until last year. I thought that I lived in the best country in the world. Everybody came here to visit me. People in Toronto felt gloomy in February, especially when they couldn't see the sun for months on. Experience didn't want it. So the question is, do we protect our sovereignty and make sure that we do really well in our own country? I got to be politically correct when I speak. You see what I'm saying? Because I can't say what I really feel. But
yeah, you could
we're
say
horrible.
you could say what you really feel. You may be challenged on it, and if you're afraid to be challenged on it, that's a different story. But you could say what you feel.
But then people call me bullies, and I don't want to do that. So
they call you what?
A bully. Just because I stand behind my beliefs. But you know, whatever.
So you score people in, no problem. What's the problem?
Let's move on.
Go ahead, Ram. You know I'm only pulling your leg.
I love it. I love people who can challenge me in dialogue. You know what? We are great with crying and talking about all the problems, but we're horrible with solutions.
Chirag,
let me give you a question. We're getting ready to celebrate each and every month for the next year, probably celebrations about independence.
Right.
But what city did we build?
What city did you build?
Our country, yellow and red. What city have we built in the last 49 years? What airport have we constructed in 49
years?
Remember, Abaco, listen.
You can't ask me a question and then don't wait for the answer. We built two cities. One is called Nassau and one's called Freeport.
So Freeport is better now than it was before independence?
Oh, absolutely. What?
Freeport's better now than before independence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I can't
answer.
As a city? Mm-hmm.
Well, brother, you was in Freeport prior to 1973?
1961.
No.
I had people sit with me and tell me in 1961, Freeport was booming. They had three jobs, and they were making $3,000 a week, which today...
Freeport's unemployment rate was 6.9%, the lowest it was in a generation.
In 1999,
people were holding jobs galore. They had investment galore. The cement in Freeport could not be exported to Nassau because so much construction was going on.
9% unemployment in the 99.
6.7%.
6%.
Six.
What was it in 1961 when everybody was working in the Magic City?
In 1951 when everybody was working, man. We don't know what the unemployment rate was in Grand Bahama in 1951. But unless you lived in that period and lived in the other period, you don't know what Freeport was like compared to now, my friend. And I can assure you, for Bahamians, it was not what it is today or has been over the past years.
I've interviewed people on film in 1961 that told me they had 100% almost employment.
Donald Trump said he wanted to make America great again. And when they asked him, he was thinking back to a period when people were still being held under Jim Crow laws and crap.
Yeah, but
what does that mean? That people think listen to me, man. Anybody could think a thing is good for them and it's good for them. But what is happening with the rest of the population, brother?
Well, if everybody was employed in 1961 in Freeport coming from Long Island, as far as Long Island to get jobs there.
Every slave on a plantation was employed. You think they were happy?
Are people happy now in Freeport?
Oh, lots of people are happy in Freeport. Graham, let me give you a difference between me and you. Let me give you a difference between me and you. My brothers, sisters, mother, cousins, friends live in Freeport. So don't talk to me about Freeport.
Well, see, Alan Johnson lives there right now. And we both know.
And see, Alan Johnson will tell you that there are struggles there, but there's happening. So we can't just make simplistic statements about the place like that, my brother, and compare it to 1951.
And 1999, we still had people who had no ownership of the
Ram,
support.
Ram, let's not waste time on this one, okay?
Yep.
I mean, that's not
Let me wrap up with one question. I want to wrap up with one question.
Yeah, go right ahead, my friend.
Give me one solution to fix this economy before you end the show, okay?
One solution? You. Sure, I can give you several solutions to help the economy, several.
And tell me. Tell me how we will have direct ownership as Bahamians, not working in any industry, but having some ownership in it, like how Airbnb is different from making a bed. Just the same way
as you have direct ownership right now, because some of y'all seem to think it doesn't matter that Bahamians own Commonwealth Bank. It doesn't matter that Bahamians own Super Value and those, that Bahamians own a bamboo shack and those. It does some of them, Fidelity and those. It doesn't matter to y'all because Bahamians don't own anything directly. That the people, Bahamians, own thousands of franchises in this country. That doesn't seem to matter. Construction companies, et cetera. It's only direct ownership if you own something big like Bahama. And how many people are going to own that?
So the majority?
No, ain't no show. Ain't no show. I want
the majority of the country have ownership.
No, the majority of no country has direct ownership. So when you find me a country where the majority of people have direct ownership, then let me then let's talk. Let's talk.
Why do I have to find you a country? Why can't I make mine the first?
Because you're being, well, you make it then. If you can do it, find a way.
I've had two parties for 50 years and they haven't come close to that.
No, they haven't. No, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. They haven't come close to it because you haven't even taken the time to evaluate the situation properly. You haven't even taken the time to evaluate the situation. We have companies like Cable Bahamas and all those listed on BizX where Bahamians have ownership in it where they didn't have before, in Nassau Port and these kinds of things. But where some of you are so focused on your little talking, political talking points, have not evaluated the points significantly enough. You just want to continue to say these things and expect for people to let you get away with saying them. Unfortunately, you call the wrong show to do that. Okay, if you call the show and say, I would like to have more Bahamian ownership, wonderful. Let's make it happen. How do we make it happen? Bahamians got to save and use what they save and invest in equity and businesses. The government isn't going to do that for you. It is silly, naive, and ignorant to think that the government is going to cause you to own in a business. When governments do that, they are called dictatorships or communist societies or socialist societies or something. But they're certainly not free enterprise, democratic ones. But just because you don't own in something doesn't mean lots of Bahamians don't own in something. My sister, who passed away a couple of years ago, she and her husband held shares in a number of companies. A number of my family and friends, I have held shares in companies. So don't talk to people like your experience is theirs. The vast majority of Americans do not own a company in America, nor in Canada, nor in Germany, nor in Singapore, nor in Denmark, nor in Norway, nor in Finland. And these are countries which you could find. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Chef, that's you?
Hey Kay, how you doing?
Good. I hear you expanding. That's true?
Yeah, so now you can eat at and own a slice of the gyro.
I like that. What do I need to get started?
Go to awacx.com, pick tropical gyros, and click invest. It's that easy.
Is it expensive?
No, man. You can invest with just $9 a share with a minimum of 4 shares.
That's it? Man, I'm going online now. Go to awacx.com today to invest in tropical gyro. For more info, call 603-5270 or email invest at awacx.com.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport.
visit any of Fidelity's locations, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, somebody say Z Live, say more like Z Live. Why? Your talking sense can run you out sometimes. Guess what? Graham just called the show, right? Running on about Bahamians not having direct ownership, right? Whatever he defines direct ownership about. On my break, Arawak X is advertising companies like Tropical Gyro and them who are offering shares in their company to Bahamians, and Bahamians are subscribing. That's what we call direct ownership. Ownership and equity through shares. Forget the taxi, the man who, well, forget the tour operator, forget the all these convenience stores, all these food stores, all these restaurants, all these construction businesses, all these media businesses, all of these financial corporate and service provider business, all these law firms, all these accounting firms. Forget all of them, because none of them own in the economy. None of them, according to Graham, they don't own in the economy. Forget the licensees of the Grand Bahama Port Authority, 80% of whom are Bahamians. Forget all them. You know, when you count as a Bahamian in the Bahamas, this is when you count. When you own some mega structure called Bahama or Atlantis, and guess what? Graham doesn't even realize that many of those kinds of businesses are owned by pension funds, which are owned by employees who have pensions at their workplaces, as do many Bahamians, right? The teacher's pension fund, right? The public service pension funds, or whatever funds these people, these many unions and them have. They don't realize that. The University of Bahamas has a pension fund. Don't realize it. They own up in all kinds of different businesses and things. But that don't count, because this political, this narrow, shallow political argument that they have come to grasp onto without even paying much attention to has just become too sweet for them to let go and to make more sophisticated by explaining it or asking it in a more informed fashion. Well, I'm sorry. Don't go Z Live with it, because you will get called out. This text says, speaking of dark and gloomy, every time that man calls the show, a darkness sense. He needs to get some light and positivity in his life. I hope he's not suffering from depression. Some people that's just their personality, you know, and I'm not going to dog him about it, but definitely if you call the show, you know. Say, Lang, for all these so-called people who think they are so legally smart, laugh out loud, the only way you can be charged with leaving a country is if you are under court orders not to leave the jurisdiction. That's my understanding. Otherwise, you are free to leave wherever you want. So everyone keeps trying to make this point about 49 years of government, and we have this problem. 80 over 200 years independence. America, 246. Why are we beating up ourselves over 49 years? I'm so tired of hearing foolishness. Boy, that's the truth. Having independence doesn't mean we should be a gold-flowing country. Some people, 49, are still struggling. So is the country. You're absolutely right, my friend. Absolutely right. Says, Graham, them keep trying to sell the points that they should be sitting home making $100,000 a year. just sit back and wait for the money, lies and stupidity. But first of all, anyone who could make that happen should be sitting at home collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars themselves, period, on their own steam, on their own ingenuity, on their own creativity. Why you got to wait for the government to do that for you? That's kind of backward, if you ask me. If it's that good, you could do that for yourself. This text says, I think the crime is aiding and abetting. You paid money to further the committing of a crime. Well, if you are proven to have paid for something amounting to a crime, yeah, but okay. So you got work to do, bro, but I hear you. This says he aided and abetted a crime. We are not in the business of giving criminals permit. So if he already has a permit and aided and abetted a crime, he permitted such should be revoked. Yeah, if you aided and abetted, yeah, if you could prove it. This says, as I understand, he paid to be taken to a country without the permission of the said country. That's a crime. No, that's not a crime. That's not a crime. I'm sorry. It's nonsense. You can only be accused of a crime in a country when you land in the country illegally, and most people don't realize, unless a U.S. border control person, for instance, stamps your passport permit to enter, you haven't even landed in the country yet. Just because you flew there and the plane landed there doesn't mean that you have landed in the country in the legal meaning of the word. So no, I'm sorry, that is not true. That is not true, okay? You don't need the permission. The United States of America, if I leave from Freeport, has given me no permission to fly to Fort Lauderdale, none, because there's no pre-clearance there. It's nonsense. I get the permission when I go there to enter. All I have to have is the plane ticket, the right travel documents, and all that have you. I do not have to have permission from the country to land, and no one does prior to going, unless you have a requirement of a country that requires you to have a letter in hand of invitation from someone in the country in order to come. And China and some of those countries do have that rule. This text says, Mr. Lang, don't you know what the caller was talking about? Mr. Davis was correct as far as refuting the notion that the Cuban nurses can be trafficking, which I thought was an absurd accusation by the USA. I don't know what that is about. I really don't, honestly. Says manslaughter is unintentionally causing the death of another. The boat operator can be charged with manslaughter. That is true. This text says, Mr. Lang, we are in a cycle presently that could be a little tedious. The Russians sending us a note. The Haitians dying in the waters, trying to find economic relief. We will pull out of it. I agree with you. Says what crime did the smuggled people commit is an interesting but. Okay, but we missed something now. Is an interesting, but you answer this question. Is it not a crime to pay someone to commit a crime? It is, but you have to prove a crime, though. You have to prove a crime. So if they catch these people, right, the smuggler will have to say, he paid me to commit this crime. And then they would have to say, yes, I agreed to pay. You don't just accuse somebody of something. I don't care what the situation is you catch them in. You could catch somebody with their hand on a gun, with somebody's body lying in blood, and they're next to the body, and that could be the weapon that killed them. That's not proof that you shot them. That's circumstances that points to you, that makes you a suspect. That's not proof that you killed them, because you could think of 100 circumstances under which you end up with that gun in your hand standing over a body, and that wasn't the one who killed the person. We've seen that over and repeatedly. All right? This text says, good evening, Michelle. All right, you obviously ain't talking to this show. So this text says, what from Haiti? Do they believe we have the resources to do such? Lastly, can the PM negotiate directly with an OPEC country for lower fuel purchases? I don't know. I suppose you could try. You could try. I don't see that anybody could prohibit him from reaching out to OPEC and that. But how OPEC responds to that, I really couldn't say myself. You're listening to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. We have to take a break for news, and then when we come back, we may switch up a little bit. We'll be back after this news break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me get some of these texts read. This text is, Mr. Lang, you win that argument with Graham. Laugh out loud. He kept on moving the goalposts and couldn't answer your questions. Great points. This text says, but Mr. Lang, according to the Immigration Act, one must make a declaration if they are going to disembark. The burden of proof is on the person disembarking. So they can accuse you of disembarking, and it's on you to prove that you aren't doing so illegally. When you disembark, you are actually on a vessel entering a country. That's disembarking. You're not embarking. When you're leaving and going on a vessel, you are embarking. If you're disembarking, you're coming off. So you can't enter a country illegally, so that's right. Okay, you do have to have proof that you permission. So you do have to prove that you're disembarking legally. That's the whole point of encountering an immigration or border patrol person. So I'm not disagreeing with you there. His text says, when that caller called and said PM was lying about trafficking, he was political and did not listen to the entire speech. An American report referenced that we were trafficking with the Cuban nurses that we brought over. PM Davis said he was disappointed that such a report labeling the Bahamas as traffickers because the nurses signed a contract with our country to work for a certain salary. And they can leave anytime. He went on to say, trafficking is different from smuggling. I hope you can read the report so you can really tell the caller to stop calling the show with nonsense. The interview with PM is about smuggling. That seems like you did a fairly good job telling them yourself. This text says, so the U.S. is trying to make something out of us and the Cuban nurses. They were legally brought here. So thousands that come into the U.S. from Mexico. So guess because they came to the U.S., they're just as poor. They can be exploited, but the U.S. don't see that as a problem. Oh, you said that yesterday, though. This text says the Bahamas needs to fix the surmountable issues that exist. We cannot help Haiti. Haiti needs to fix its own situation along with the U.N. Haiti is in a beautiful country with many wealthy citizens. Yeah. Let me tell you something. The Bahamas has to do everything it can to protect its border. And the Bahamas has to continue to find ways to do so, et cetera. I don't know what fix its surmountable problems mean, but on the immigration front, an open border country like ours, my children's children will have to deal with immigration issues. That don't mean it can be as bad, but they're gonna have to deal with it. This text says, I think the issue of proving the crime of aiding and abetting would be based on the preponderance of evidence, because I believe that from the news report, persons already admitted they paid some $3,000 to $5,000 to be smuggled into the U.S. Let me say that. I mean, honestly, insofar as, well, the people who don't have papers are going to be repatriated, right? So there's no issue there. The people who have work permits, the immigration board that issues permits doesn't need a preponderance of evidence to revoke it. Let me tell you, one of the most powerful bodies in the Bahamas is the immigration board. Okay? And then why? Because you want to have unfettered of your borders. So I'm not arguing for some case to be built up by those holding the permits. Their permits can be revoked by the immigration board that issued it. So that's not an issue. And the minister said so. Minister said that they're going to be revoked. So that's the end of that. Not a whole lot of discussion need be had about that. This text says, people leave from our family islands and go to other countries by boat all the time. Well, yeah, on private vessels, they don't sign no embarking papers. Why everyone think they are lawyers? I have no idea, my friend. I don't, but I mean, but you make the point quite clear, I hope, for them. Anyways, so I have an ongoing program with young people. It's called the Bahamas Youth Leadership Development Summer Talk Series, a discussion on life, leadership, and learning. We've had 2 of 4 sessions so far with these young people, and have had, you know, wonderful discussions with them. Some of their parents in the sessions too, so they are able to comment on what their kids are hearing. And so far, on Saturday, Gwan, we took up the issue of emotional intelligence, personality and emotional intelligence. And I was trying to, we was on how each of us comes to life or tend to evolve in life, a certain personality, okay? And that, like, personality isn't flippant. It isn't some, like, really flaky something about a person. Personality is almost like a structured component of your character, meaning that over time, we tend to display more often than not every single time, but more often than not, a set of traits that put together comes to be known as our personality, the personality characteristic of that person, personality, right? And so that's why people get to say, well, he's that kind of person or she's that kind of person, et cetera. Mind you, oftentimes when people do that, they're kind of either being flattering or being derogatory rather than really describing the essence of people's personality as maybe done by, say, a psychologist or sociologist or something, right? But we come to life with personalities, and they have ways of defining personalities that, you know, some of you may be used to. If you were discussing this with these young people, right, and walking them through the exercise so that they can kind of get a sense of their own personality or what might be described. So, for instance, if you look at some 5 characteristics that tend to be looked at when you're talking about a person's personality. You might look at something along these lines. So you might ask a person, you know, whether they are more or less open or more or less closed when it comes to the way they approach life. And what do I mean by that? They mean that, okay, are you a fairly curious person? You know, do you tend to be kind of open-minded as an individual? And, or do you tend to be fairly closed off as a person? Right? They might ask, okay, do you regard yourself as a particularly nervous kind of person? Or would you say that you are a person who is more confident than not, right? They might ask you whether you are a person who's more organized as a person, tend to be really committed to being efficient when you do things. Are you more an easygoing person and not so caught up in that? You're kind of carefree, careless, you know, your clothes is all on the ground, your books and papers are all over the place. Or are you somebody who's outgoing and energetic, the life of the party? Or are you somebody who tends to be solitary, reserved, and that kind of stuff, right? And so there's these five basic types: conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness. Are you more or less a friendly person, compassionate person, or you tend to come across as cold or unkind, right? And so on the basis of these types, somebody gets to look at themselves and say, you know what? If I were doing myself using these types, I would say that I'm a fairly open person, tend to be fairly organized and efficient, not so easygoing. I tend to be outgoing, you know, and energetic, but I'm not agreeable. I'm not the most agreeable person, so I would come across as cold and unkind. And I might come across as a person who's secure and confident. So that would be a way of, and once you kind of typeset yourself in terms of recognizing your consistent behavioral traits, the idea I teach these young people is not to say one trait is good and one trait is bad, because that's what we tend to do. We tend to think if you're a confident, secure person, that's good. But if you're a sensitive person or you tend to be a little nervous, that's bad. That's not true. That's not true at all. We tend to think that, well, if you're cold and unkind, that's a bad thing. But if you're friendly and compassionate, then that's a good thing. But that's not always true at all, not even close, right? That if somebody's reserved and likes to be with themselves, that's not good. But somebody's outgoing and energetic, that's good. That's not true. And so, for instance, if you are someone who is a solitary person, you don't mind being by yourself and you're a reserved person, like there are some professions that you are best suited for, right? You are someone who can, you could be a researcher in a lab and do a fantastic job at it, because you don't need to be around a ton of people talking to you and getting all your jollies off because people are talking to you. But you could be focused, very focused on that assignment because you don't care. An outgoing person might have a great deal of difficulty doing that. They can't even be focused on that cell membrane for a minute because they need to be talking to this one and talking to that one. Okay? Somebody who is careful and nervous could be just the person you need to watch over things, because they are going to want to make sure they pick up on this and pick up on that. Somebody who is kind of confident and secure might think everything is cool and be so overconfident they can't be helpful to you. So what we try to teach people is that your personality characteristics are not good or bad. They are good or bad in certain situations. And what's important is that you understand that you know your personality type so that you know how best to cope with, deal with situations when they arise, so that things aren't triggering you because the environment is one that goes against the grain of your personality. While when you are in a situation that works with your personality, you can thrive. And that's how one of the reasons why people try to do personality tests and the like, so that they can get better fittings for professions, for tasks and all this kinds of stuff. Companies do it, trying to make sure the people are better fit. We keep saying, oh, that girl at that counter, the receptionist is so rude. She might be, her personality is one that she shouldn't be there in the first place, because she's not someone who's sociable. She's not somebody who likes being around people that much. She got a job because they're paying her. But now she's using a more reserved personality, a more kind of cold personality to work with people who expect warmness when they come to a place to spend their money. And so the idea we teach these young people is know your personality, right? Then they have other ways of talking about personality, where they ask, they can characterize you as either phlegmatic. What's a phlegmatic personality? A phlegmatic personality is somebody who's calm, even-tempered, reliable, controlled, peaceful, thoughtful, careful, and passive. So that's a phlegmatic personality. Somebody who is a melancholic personality is quiet, unsociable, reserved, pessimistic, sober, rigid, anxious, and moody. Now, when you look at these personality characteristics, that doesn't mean that you are every one of these things. What it does mean is that you tend to be a lot of these things more often than not, and that's why you get characterized the way you get characterized. So if you're phlegmatic, you tend to be more often than not every single time, but more often than not, calm, even-tempered, reliable, controlled, peaceful, thoughtful, careful, and passive. If you're melancholic, you tend to be quiet, unsociable, reserved, pessimistic, sober, rigid, anxious, and moody. Now, how are you going to take a melancholic personality and put them in an environment greeting who require friendliness when they come? They are a melancholic person. If you take this person and hug them at a computer, nobody cares, because a computer doesn't care if you smile with it or not. It doesn't care if you're pessimistic or not. It doesn't care if you're moody or not. It just takes whatever input you put in and it produces whatever output it produces. But then you have what is called a choleric personality. And this is someone who is active, optimistic, impulsive, changeable, excitable, aggressive, restless, and touchy. Again, where that personality type best fit is a different story. Then you have what they call sanguine personality, right? Where somebody tend to show leadership, they tend to be carefree, they tend to be lively, they tend to be easygoing, they tend to be responsive, talkative, outgoing, sociable. Now, let me ask you, if you wanted a receptionist, would you want one a sanguine as your receptionist? Let me tell you it again. Leadership, carefree, lively, easygoing, responsive, talkative, outgoing, sociable. So again, the idea is that there are these personality types that we come to life with, that we tend to evolve in life with, and that they work best in some situations. A talkative person is not a person you want to put in an environment where secretness and reservedness is important, right? You don't maybe they shouldn't be your Secret Service person. Maybe they shouldn't be a spy. Maybe they shouldn't be a priest taking people confession, right? Maybe they should be someplace as a teacher or something, right? And I spend a lot of time with these young people with this, because one of the things that I am learning more and more every day is that our education system, and by education system, I don't just mean the school system. I don't just mean the school system. I'm talking about the education system made up of our home, training, rearing, made up of our community guidance, and made up of our school system, made up of our church teachings, that they don't seem to do a lot to help inform us about how we work as people, how our brains work, how our triggers work, how our adaptations work, how our habituations work. Like, we have very simplistic notions about why we are what we are. Child, that's just sin. That's just the devil. That's just the demons working inside of you. Oh, that's just how your mom and your daddy didn't bring you up and so forth. And it is not as simple as that. Because if we understand better how we work as human beings, how our brains work, we can be more effective. Like, years ago, I realized that I was forgetting simple things, where the keys were to take something out with me when I needed to go to a store or something of that nature. And so I read an article that said, well, the article was entitled Work with Your Brain. And what the article was describing for me was that as we get more involved in life, we have more things happening. Our short-term memories, you know, or the random access part of memory part of our brains gets overloaded. And so remembering that you should take the trash out, or remembering that you should take your son his lunch, you don't need necessarily remember, not because your memory is failing. You're not remembering because your random access memory that holds the temporary files in your brain, they work. They get overloaded, and now you can't contain more things. And so that's why you don't remember. So what it said was, learn to work with your brain. So it says, when you think, oh, I need to take the trash out, right that very instant, go and get the trash, put it in front of the door that you are going to walk out of when you are going out. And guess what? So now you're walking out the door, and what's in front of the door? The trash bag. So that's what I do. So if I'm going, if I see something that needs to go in the bedroom, I have a two-story house. If I need, it needs to go in the bedroom, what I will do right then is I will take that thing and put it on the steps and in the middle of the steps, so that I have to walk over it in order to go up the steps so I remember to take it. And it has worked marvelously for me, marvelously. And so the idea here is, the more we learn about how we work as human beings, how this machine works, how this biological system works, how we perform best, we are able then to produce better and navigate the world more successfully. And so this is what we're trying to teach these young people in these sessions. And that's what we did on Saturday with personalities. And we also taught them that this, when you understand how personalities work, when you understand that people have personalities, which are structured, consistent patterns of behavior that they display in situations, when you understand that you're not so judgmental as we tend to be. We tend to see people as evil and wicked and this. And sometimes what they are is really an expression of a personality that they have. Now, you don't have to do what your personality dictates, but you are more often going to do what your personality dictates. And so if we can see people as having a personality different from us, so if somebody is not very outgoing, could be a friend, could be a family member, they're not very sociable, they don't tend to be very energetic, they don't get to be called boring and crazy or something like that. What we get to say is, here is someone who is different than me as a personality, and that might explain why they don't want to go out. And now I'm not being judgmental. I could be kinder in my viewing of them, as they might well be of me. Okay? And that's what we're trying to teach these young people, that we need to be a kinder, more understanding people to each other. And that helps us to avoid some of the anxieties, the hatred, the negativity and conflicts that could arise because we don't understand each other. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We got more to talk about. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Rope together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Shop early for Janae's Mix and Match Specials. Get all your school uniforms, neckties, socks, shorts, character towels, raincoats, umbrellas, colorful backpacks, underclothes, and tights. Mix and match four school shirts, pre-monogrammed or regular, and get one free. Yes, free. Mix and match two skirts, jumpers, or pants, and get the third one 50% off. Janae's COVID-19 Customer Recovery Assistance. Relaxed restrictions, allowing mix and match. WhatsApp 817-3295 or go online at www.janaes.com.
Do you know that it's not necessary to renew your NIB smart card when the date on the card has expired? That's right. Renewal is not required for children ages 0 to 15 or adults ages 16 to 59 years old. Persons who may apply to renew their NIB card include seniors turning 60 years old, children turning 16 years old, persons whose cards have been lost, damaged, or stolen, first-time Bahamian and permanent resident adults, non-Bahamian issued a verification letter. For more information on NIB Smart Card renewal, go to nib-bahamas.com or visit our Facebook and Instagram pages today. This message is sponsored by the National Insurance Board.
It's regatta time again with Sand Dollar and the Rollville Development Association in Exuma for the 78th Rollville Regatta and Homecoming. All roads lead to Exuma, July the 28th through August 1st for Sand Dollar giveaways all weekend. Get ready for live performances, gospel night, battle of the DJs, boat sailing, mixology competition, and so much more. Come and hang out with the Sand Dollar team to learn about the Bahamian digital dollar. Use Sand Dollar at the regatta site to avoid having to worry about cash. Check out www.sanddollar.com. sanddollar.bs for more information about the digital dollar.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232 or 36 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a text here, says, "Hi Z, excellent discussion on personality types. This is the type of discussion training that I was hoping that the National Training Agency would conduct based on what they had said initially. Sadly, this doesn't seem to be the case, although very badly needed. keep up the stellar work with our young people. You are quite welcome. Actually, I embarked on this with our young people because I was telling them that the research says that emotional intelligence is such an important part of the success we can enjoy in life and in the workplace. And that while we have a great deal of emphasis on academic intelligence, which is important in its own place, it doesn't seem to be as nearly as important as understanding how to deal with ourselves and deal with the relationships that we come to find ourselves in. And that's why I wanted to take the time to help them up with that. And so we looked at personality types, and I indicated to them, listen, this is just an introduction to a very complex topic that you could do more research on, do more studies on. If you could find even formal courses or training, go do some stuff and go and take personality tests. There are free ones online. There are ones you can pay for. I have paid a number of times for very extensive ones to give me a much better understanding of my own personality. And it's been hugely wonderful. I mean, really, I mean, spotting every strength and every weakness that I could say, hey, man, well, that's true. That's me. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't have a problem being open over myself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I really don't. I spend time trying to understand, bro, why are you like that? Why you have the little quirk? You know, why you come across like that? You know, because I want to know, and I want to the extent possible, do something about it. This text says, what is the age range for that group? We have students in there from 11 years old to 20-something, right? So, yeah. So then Saturday, we looked at the question of emotions. Oh, human beings. Human beings. Listen to me. Emotions. We would like to think that we mostly behave as we do on the basis of reasoning, meaning we develop a set of premises in relation to a particular issue, and then on the basis of those premises, we draw conclusions that are rational in nature. We would like to think that is what we do more often than not, but according to research, not so. That most of us behave as we do because of our emotions, because of our feelings. What are emotions? So the way I explained it to the students is this. An event happens in your life. And an event could be something that happened. You stubbed your toe, right? You hit your knee or something when you were getting up, really, and it hurt, right? Or someone said to you, you're so ugly, or you're so arrogant, right? All of those are events that happen to you. Your brain is going to interpret those events. And it is going to see those events as a threat or something. And depending on how your brain processes that, and that processing could be a product of your childhood development, of your experiences over time that tells you X, Y, and Z about things. And depending on your brain's interpretation, you are going to develop some feelings in your body. Nervousness, agitation, and all these kinds of things that come to be known as either anxiety, rage, fear, or something, right? Emotions are the way we feel our thoughts in our bodies. The way we feel our thoughts in our bodies is called emotions. So if you just have a thought in your head and it doesn't produce any feeling in your body of excitement, of jubilation, or of annoyance, or irritation, or depression, or something, if you don't have any feelings, then those are just thoughts. Once you those thoughts induce a feeling in your body, it's called an emotion. And listen to the word emotion, energy and motion. That's what an emotion is. So that thought that generated a reaction in your body that produces that feeling, that's energy, right? What you're feeling is energy. That's your nervous system, your muscles, your that just generating energy. And that energy oftentimes is aggressive energy, especially on the negative side. That's aggressive energy. It wants to get out, Jack. It wants to do something. You stub your toe, it wants to cuss all the out you. It wants to tell you, catch your own. It wants to get out. It needs to work itself out of you. The question we taught the young people is, what will you do with this energy? That's the question. Events are going to happen. You can't control that. I don't get to stop somebody from saying Shivari is an ignorant, arrogant man. I don't get to stop that. I don't get to stop somebody saying y'all politicians corrupt. I don't get to stop that. I don't get to have it rain when I'm having an event outside. I don't get to stop that. Okay? There are many things, too many things, I simply have no control over. And so I'm going to have good and bad events in my life. The question is, when my brain interprets that event, first through its reptilian brain, that instinctual brain, that brain that really just as animalistic as any lizard, cat, dog, or lion. And then through the limbic brain, that's the emotional brain that's scanning my universe for threats and rewards. And it's telling me you got to fly away or fight, bro. And then through my neocortex, that's trying to put into words what my limbic brain is telling me so that I can, on the basis of that rationalization and reasoning, make a sensible decision if I can. The question is, what am I going to do with this energy? And I was saying, we explained to the young people that this is the million-dollar question. And your capacity to manage the answer to that question could be the difference between life and death, between success and failure, between love and hate, between marriage and divorce, between brotherly love and hatred. And so we have to understand emotions better is what we're trying to teach them. So we have some texts here. Let me read those texts. It says, laugh out loud, I'm now 48. I can relate to your memory example about using the garbage to remind you of what you need to do. Laugh out loud. I was doing the same thing in my 30s. Yep. So you have to decide how you're going to respond to this aggressive energy or do what you're going to do with this aggressive energy that builds up in you. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Your hubby tell you something or say something or do something, you vex as hell. You are mad. Exploding all the vein in your blood vessels, in your side of your temple, ready to burst. That's aggressive energy inside of you. What are you going to do? Your boss, your employee says something, does something that vexes the heck out of you. What are you going to do? You're listening to Z Live. We're going to take our final break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about how we can approach the dealing with our emotions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
To think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller.
until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Marched the car. The lady run into me, marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. Know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where in the second half of the show, we've been talking about some softer issues in the world. In particular, now we've been talking about emotions, right? So you have an event happen. By the way, we oftentimes only think of negative events as triggering emotions that could get us in problems, but that's not true. You can have positive events happen that get you in trouble too. Let me give you an example. Someone comes to you and says, oh boy, girl, I have this wonderful business idea and I think you should get involved and so forth and so forth. They talk to you about it. You get excited because you're an excitable person. You get excited. And rather than act rationally, you act emotionally and maybe you commit, dedicate monies to it and then boom, next thing you know, problems arise, okay? So it's not just negative events that can cause us to get into problems emotionally. It's also positive events too that can cause us to do so. The idea is that we need to be able to manage our emotions in a way that we are not being compelled by them to do things that are against our interest. That's the idea. So somebody says, Z, when faced with this aggressive energy, the best thing is to literally count to 10. Then before you react, think of the consequences, repercussions of the action. If you act impulsively more often than not, you live to regret it. This is easier said than done. True. One of the methods that people do, you say, is count to 10. And some people do that, and it may work for some people. That's a method for sure. And trying to think about the consequences, I think, does make sense. But a lot of people think about consequences while they are angry and still end up doing what they do anyway. Here is what I have learned over time. And like I said, there are many techniques and many methods to helping with this. First of all, it makes very good sense to try and practice calmness, period. Most of us don't practice calmness, you know. What happens is the absence of a conflict, we tend to then be less, more calm. And so we think that that's calmness, but that's not practicing calmness. That's just, I don't have an event to trigger me yet. So that when now something happens, then I'm easily triggered. Practicing calmness is an intentional awareness of the state of my own mind in so much that I am constantly vigilant about protecting my calmness. That's what it is. It's like you have a bank account with a lot of money on it and you think about it all the time because you want to make sure it's okay. You're protecting it, right? So you go watch it, you go look at it. Calmness is the same way. If you think of your calmness as a bank account with a lot of money on it, you're protecting the calmness. So when you are moving about, you are trying to do the things that make sure you're protecting your calmness. So you are actually looking out for triggers that might affect your calmness. And that makes it easier to deal with a matter when it happens. So because I practice calmness more, because I do, I'm not nearly perfect at it at all, I am able to deal with some situations on this show differently than I would have dealt with it before. Some of y'all still run on and tell me, but you know, you just get so this, and you say, okay, fine, that's true. But not nearly as much as I used to. Even if I stub my toe now, I get angry still, but I'm not going to react in the same way that I used to react before, because I'm practicing calmness with a view to protecting that calmness on a consistent basis. I want to be calm. It feels better. Oh, hallelujah. It feels better to be calm, deliberately and intentionally calm, right? So that's the first thing. The other thing is, when you understand your personality, when you understand things that trigger you, what's a trigger? A trigger is some event that seems to touch a softness inside of you, something that seems to touch a sensitivity inside of you that you go off on. And that could be it could be something that causes you to spend too much, or it could be something that causes you to curse too much. It doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, it's a trigger. Something that might cause you to drink, or something that might cause you to watch something you shouldn't or don't want to be watching. So what happens is you think of those triggers, and you are practicing in your mind how you will respond, not react, but respond to the trigger. So what happens is you are actually conditioning your mind before the event actually happens to respond to the event. So when the event actually happens, you are more likely than not always perfectly, but are more likely than not to respond to it that way. So if you know that your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend tends to say things or do things, maybe the way they chew, right? Maybe the way they handle the remote control. You know that that's a trigger for you. What you're doing is sitting down away from that, thinking, here is him just flicking away at the TV, controlling the channel, and you're thinking, here's how I'm going to react to that. I'm going to get up and go and do something I enjoy doing, like read a book or something I don't want to be triggered this way. Or I'm going to say to him, honey, I love you. Can I get you something to eat or drink that you need, or do you need anything? By the way, can you and I watch something together? Maybe even not now, but a little later. So you're gonna do something, but you're rehearsing this in your head before it actually happens, right? You know they're gonna chew and smack when they have dinner table, and you're gonna think about something that you can do. You know what you could do? You could put on jazz music in the background as you all have dinner. Think about the jazz. So the point is, you're rehearsing things that will help you deal with the trigger better in advance. Now, when the event happens, when some events happen, another thing is, somebody said count to 10, that's true. You want to have rehearsed this in your mind. When something triggers you negatively, you have these three things. You can say to yourself, shut up, right? You might even say it more harshly to yourself. Listen, shut the hell up. Don't say anything. Yes, you're angry. Yes, you might. Don't shut. Shut up. Walk away even. Go away. Move away. And you're going to say, do nothing. Nothing. Not in that situation. To the situation. Do nothing. You're giving yourself these instructions. And then you're going to go and say, I'm going to wait for calm. Yeah, you're going to wait for calm. So whether that takes a day, 2 days, you're going to wait for calm. Maybe you have to go and write. And journalize, right? And write all your thoughts and write them down and argue and cuss and do whatever you have to do on your thoughts, but you're not going to do it to the other person. Because I assure you that no good comes of angry exchanges. None. That doesn't mean, I didn't say you can't get angry. I said, but no good comes. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Okay? So you want to, as much as possible, avoid acting in anger. Too many of us are already paying the price for that. Things said, they can't take back. Things done, you can't undo. And you pay a price for it. You pay your own personal price for it. You pay price in your relationships for it. You pay price in your workplace for it. You pay price in your business for it. So you want to avoid that, okay? This text says, the day Yes, that's true. One of the things I've learned from you is telling myself, okay, there's nothing else I can do about this problem, and I make myself take a nap. You're absolutely right. Sometimes, let me tell you something, sometimes your emotions are being dictated by nothing other than your physical fatigue, nothing other than that. You're just tired, boo. You're just tired. And when you're tired, it's all right to take a break. I don't care what is pressing. I don't care what is urgent. When you're tired and you whatever you have to do, send the kids to be with somebody, make them lay down, give them TV, do something. You need to go and just take a break. Nap, take a nap. If it ain't a nap you need, watch a TV program. I just turn YouTube on and I just find a comedian that I love and I just let him laugh me away. Right? Because sometimes the physical fatigue is what's causing you issues. This text says, I also journal how I'm feeling daily to help me emotionally process what is happening. Absolutely. Very good. This text says, Manzi, my facial expression often gives me away. No matter how calm I try to remain, I have come a long way. Yeah, I have that problem too, but my people tell me I scowl. You know, what is it, scowl? You know, like when your face gets, you can tell, but people can tell when you're angry. That's true, boy. But me, oh my God. I have a terrible photo that was taken of me in the House of Assembly for doing that. It's terrible. So I know what you feel. But the idea is you have to work on trying to make sure that your emotions, which are real, you have them. We all have them. Do you all know that while most of us really only know the basic emotions, and the six basic emotions are happiness, sadness, anger, surprise, scared or fear, and disgust. These are the basic emotions. Those are the ones we know. But they have mapped what about 32,000 emotions that human beings have, right? 32,000 emotions. And there is an app called the Universe of Emotions where they actually make the emotions like galaxies. So there's a sun, and that might be fear. And then all of the emotions around fear become planets revolving around that emotion so that you know that your fear isn't only fear. Because we only say, oh, I'm scared. Let me tell you what you could be when you're fearful. The strongest fearful emotions are being appalled, being desperate, being distressed, being frightened, being horrified, being intimidated, being panicky, being paralyzed, being petrified, being shocked, being terrified, being terror-stricken or wrecked. That's the strongest fear emotions. However, medium fear emotions could include just being afraid, right? Just being afraid or being alarmed or being apprehensive or being awkward or being defensive or being fearful or being frightful, nervous or scared, and so forth and so forth. And then you have even milder fear emotions that might include being anxious or careful or cautious or disquieted. So there are lots and lots of emotions, and the better we are familiar with them and can name them, the better we can know what we're feeling and experiencing, and then we might be able to deal with them better. Because all fear is anchored in pain. I'm sorry, all fear is anchored in some anticipation of harm. All anger is anchored in pain. And once you understand what you're dealing with, you might be better able to deal with it. Listen, you all have a great evening. God bless. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivaga Lang, your host. When we come back tomorrow, God's best life, we'll talk again. Have a great evening.